Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I'm here with our Spirit of Truth Ministry research staff, and we're getting ready to have our flagship program, The Bible on Trial, and we welcome you. I welcome all those from the Facebook page, about Paul being a false apostle. If you are here, I welcome you, and we encourage you to take a few weeks and listen to what we have. You can't get it all at once. It takes a while, but if you listen, I think that you will be blessed. We have a website that is available to you, and you can see this. It's linked to you on our chat room page at spiritoftruthministry.net. There that you will find a whole bunch of good writing by Rick Sterling. We also have our book is located on that website as well. We also have an original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/STM, where the S, the T, and the M are all in caps. And we also have an email address. So let us have prayer, and we'll get started with our study. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, open our minds, open our hearts to truth, so that when we hear it, we will know it. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. And good morning, Rick.
Good morning. What is a wolf in sheep's clothing?
A wolf. Okay. Just a wolf in disguise.
It's a lie.
What have we been discussing the last few times in our broadcasts? The spiritual realm. Correct?
Absolutely.
What is a wolf in sheep's clothing? A lie dressed up as truth in the spiritual realm. That's the first thing you need to understand. You're not looking with your eyes to see a wolf that resembles a sheep or a sheep that resembles a wolf. Because with our eyes, can we see the spiritual realm?
No. Thankfully, no.
But we do need our eyes to enter the spiritual realm. And we need our ears to enter the spiritual realm. It is the only way we can enter the spiritual realm, because our eyes and our ears are the conduit for that which connects us with the spiritual realm. Plain and simple, the words that we incorporate into our intellect is what connects us with the spiritual realm. Now, those words will be of two spiritual realities. One, the reality of truth. The other, the reality of lies. If your intellect is filled with lies, then the spiritual realm that you are in is the realm controlled by the evil one. And the kingdom that you are in is the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world is not a valid kingdom. It is a temporary kingdom.
When you first started this, my mind went to the definition of faith, which is faith allows you to believe a lie as if it is the truth without accountability. And I mean, that's the simplest explanation of faith I've ever heard. And that, thank you. Don't know where that, I do know where that came from. The issue is that, and the question that I have asked people is, do you need faith to believe the truth? I mean, seriously, do you need faith to believe the truth? If it is true, then does it need faith to prove it? The answer to that, from any perspective that you can name, science, religious or spiritual or whatever, you would have to say, if it is true, it does not need faith to believe. There is proof for it. So when people tell you, well, you need to believe this or you need to believe that by faith, and the more faith that you have, the stronger your belief will be, simply don't understand what truth is.
When is faith necessary?
Only when you're starting out.
When is faith necessary?
Darkness.
When is it activated? When is faith activated? I don't know if you've been keeping track of what is going on in the United States right now by one very young leader of a very confused party, political party. It is called the Green New Deal.
I did hear about this, and I must say, it is the most singularly ridiculous thing I have ever heard proposed by anyone that is in Congress from either party.
Tell me about the New Deal. What is or what was the New Deal? The New Deal.
The Roosevelt New Deal.
Yes. And what was it?
It was an attempt to put, this happened during the Great Depression of the 30s that happened, started in 1929. Everybody was out of work. At least it seemed that way. We had about 25% of the population out of work. So the New Deal was an attempt to put these people to work by having the government pay for infrastructure development. And for instance, the The Hoover Dam was a New Deal construction project. Now, amazing piece of engineering. And by the way, my mom used to say, when she needed to use an invective, she'd say, "Oh, Hoover." And I once made the mistake of asking her why she said, "Oh, Hoover." And she said, "That's because that's the biggest dam I have heard of." So what they had to do then was they had to print money. And this is one of the start of the printing presses in the United States, 1933. So
was the New Deal that Roosevelt enacted built on truth or lies?
It was actually built 100% on the lie that you could print money how would you call it? Spend your way out of the Depression.
The money brokers, the bankers, the
central bank,
the heads of companies, the aristocrats, had created a situation where they got richer and the regular people got poorer. And the aristocrats were gifted in this ability. When the stock market crashed, the aristocrats had sold all their stock at a high point. Then they circulated lies, which caused people to be afraid that there wasn't going to be any money in the banks as they started going to make a run on the bank, and they were investing in the stocks because the stocks were going up and up and up in value, and of course they wanted to get rich. So the aristocrats got out of the stock market. The common people got into the stock market. One of them was my grandpa, who was actually fairly well-to-do, but not an aristocrat, and his brother, who had invested in a kelp plant making cattle feed, ended up with my grandpa as the stocks were starting to fall. My grandpa was buying more stock in the kelp plant so that his brother wouldn't go broke. And they both ended up going broke.
And that's fascinating, because my great-grandfather on my mom's side he didn't play the stocks, but he owned stock. He had sold his store in Bishop. He had actually quite a lot of money. He had put it in the stock market. And something bothered him. He saw all of these, he read the newspapers. He read that all of these big time people were getting out of the stock market. And by the way, at the same time, they were saying, "Everybody get in." See, the brokerage houses were saying, buy stock. And they were selling off the stock of their major clients. My grandfather saw that and got out of the stock market. And everybody around him went broke. And he was the only one that my mom said that she knew that did not go broke. He bought a fabulous piece of property in Santa Monica, which became the house for the family at 10 cents on the dollar.
Well, the aristocracy had sold their stock at the high point. Then they told a lie, which caused the stock market to crash. And they bought all those stocks back at cents.
Right.
On the dollar.
Yeah.
So they all made money, and the regular person was flat broke and had nothing.
And there were soup lines, and there were people who were literally not able to, husbands were not able to stay with their wives because they, and their children, because they couldn't afford.
And how do you control people?
Money.
You control their food.
Right.
And you control their housing, and you control their lives. All of the, and then what happens is the people who caused the situation came in as the philanthropists, and they came in and they were operating the soup kitchens, and they were getting people back to work. And everybody saw them as the saviors. All these people, these wonderful people have come in. Now I can have a job and so on. What are they? Slaves. That's what they were. Cheap labor. It was all constructed on sleight of hand and lies.
That's actually very good. I like that. Sleight of hand.
Crafty.
You bet.
So this Green New Deal, the purpose for it, we are being told, is that they don't call it global warming anymore. It's kind of hard, you know, when they're in Minnesota and Chicago, bundled up to where their eyes are the only exposed part of their body, with their jaw chattering away at minus 20 degrees to say that the earth is getting hotter and we're all going to die. So now they call it climate change. And they call these scientists, quote unquote, climate scientists. Do you think it would be important before you sell yourself up the river to try and stop climate change that you would know the truth in the matter? Or are you just going to accept someone's word for it because, well, they are a scientist? They have the degree in whatever specialty of science they are offering. And you go to the a mainstream scientist. A mainstream scientist is going to tell you what all the other mainstream scientists are saying. Can you take their word as the truth just because they are saying what all the other experts in the mainstream are saying? Well, no. What you would want to do is you would want to look at all the information and judge its credibility, especially when this Green New Deal would cost about, what was it, I think $13.7
trillion dollars.
And the reason you have to do it over 10 years is because if you don't do it in 10 years, in 12 years we'll all be dead because of global warming. I have looked at several different scientific papers talking about the climate. First of all, one thing that is interesting to note, if the Earth is warming, so are the other planets. Now, how would you explain the carbon footprint on Earth warming Mars, warming Neptune, warming Venus? How is what we do here on Earth changing the temperatures of the other planets in the solar system?
That's one of the best jokes I've heard in a long time. I didn't know you were you're not standing up, but a stand-up comedian.
In fact, what the scientists who are actually giving the facts that they have gathered through the scientific process are saying is, what is happening on this Earth is happening on the other planets. And guess who it is that is responsible for that?
United States of America.
No, that's not what they say. The sun, exactly. It's the sun. What is going on the sun is what is controlling what's going on all the other planets.
All the other planets, of course, except the Earth.
So the Green New Deal needs to figure out a way to stop the sun from causing all of this warming, cooling, all these catastrophic weather events and so on. And good luck with that. Now, why am I saying this? What does this have to do with God? What does it have to do with the information in the Bible? Well, I'm using it as a representation. If you're going to put all your quote-unquote eggs in one basket, you should be sure that basket belongs to you and doesn't belong to someone else. Because if the basket is stolen, all your eggs go with it. If you've been told that basket is secure and will always be there, and you go there one day and it isn't there, you've been lied to. And it has cost you everything. Is it important to know the truth in the matter?
Yes.
And looks can be deceiving. And in the spiritual realm, words are what is important. Words are critical because only through words can you be in the kingdom that you choose to be in. If you choose the truth, then you will be in the kingdom of Elohim. If you choose lies, you will be in the kingdom of Satan. plain and simple. Now, you can believe that you're in one kingdom, the kingdom of God, and in fact be in the other kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. And no matter how firmly you believe, no matter how strong your faith is, if you have been mastered by lies, you cannot believe yourself out of one kingdom into another.
You used that word, mastered, and I find it fascinating that in Genesis, when God was talking to Cain, and this is, how would you put it? Cain had an issue with obedience. Apparently Abel didn't have this same issue. And God said to Cain, you must master the lie. Genesis 4:7, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.
So, speaking of the Green New Deal, if you peel away all of the good intentions, or so they are presented as such, what do you see? You see control. Control of everything, and that control is in the hands of those who have created the reality. So they control how you move from place to place. They control what you eat. They control what you think. They control what you do. They control what you get. They control everything, and it's all done under the umbrella of, we are saving the planet. Because in 12 years, if we haven't done something, we're all going to die. Well, let me offer something here. I mean, if you look at all the Green New Deal data, it's all a lie. It is all built on lies. And so you have to say, what then is the real agenda with the Green New Deal? It is mastery, control of everything and everyone in the name of salvation.
That's right. Oh, and by the way, one of the other things in this Green New Deal thing is that this young skull full of mush wants to stop all air travel.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
The transport, the way you get from here to there.
Right.
Yeah.
Just stop all airplanes going from here to there and do.
And they also want to stop shop lots.
Yes, exactly.
Well, why stop at cows? I mean, they're not the only ones that flatulate. But anyway.
It's part of their mastery and control. That's coming.
You know, how would you, you know, she says you can take a train. Well, how do you take a train to Australia? It just shows the idiocy, absolute idiocy. But, you know, people listen to idiots because they want what they're offering. I mean, one of the things was that money would be given to those without work. Well, okay, fine, unemployment or disability or something like that, fine. But also, money would be given to those who are unwilling to work.
Yep.
It's
a universal stipend.
God has said the world is going to end. He didn't blame it on global warming. He didn't blame it on any catastrophic event or occurrence. He said the world is going to end when I have a kingdom on the earth that I can put to work to accomplish what must be accomplished, and then the end will come. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, 14. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come.
And we have to understand that this is a prophecy, because that word will is non-negotiable. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. So my question has been to several people, why hasn't this happened already? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, people keep getting born, you know, and they have to hear it, right?
So we must work harder.
We must work harder. That's right, Don.
Smarter.
Harder and smarter.
They don't say smarter.
Okay, no.
But maybe we have been preaching the wrong gospel of the kingdom.
Oh, but they've not gotten there yet.
And here's the thing. What did he say needs to happen before the end will come, or that will bring about the end?
This gospel of the kingdom must be.
Did he say when wickedness has reached a certain level, then I will come?
Nope.
Did he say that the earth has to be bad enough? Because I'll let the world go on indefinitely until it gets bad enough that I need to come to save it. Is that what he says?
Nope.
No. He makes it very clear in that very simple statement. What is news? What is news?
Something that you don't know.
What is news?
Words.
What are good words.
Truth.
Truth. Good words are truth. What are bad words?
Lies.
Lies. So, this truth of the kingdom, what kingdom is he talking about?
Kingdom of the heavens.
The kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God. The kingdom that he has come down to this earth to build. Now, how is he going to build it? Did he go and say, we need to tell his disciples, we need to buy some land, then we need to buy some building materials, and we need to build a big, huge building so that we can have the marriage feast in it? Is that what he said?
Nope.
No. And obviously he didn't say that because he didn't do that either. But he keeps talking about this marriage feast. The marriage feast is in the great hall. And don't you think that, and he makes it pretty clear that it's those in the kingdom that are in the marriage feast. So wouldn't it have been important for him to build the marriage hall somewhere there and say, this is it. If you will enter here, you will be in the kingdom. But he didn't do that. So what does he mean? How is he getting people to go into the kingdom when he must have forgotten that he was supposed to build the marriage hall for everybody to go into? He talks about a proclamation that the truth of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world. Where in there is, what I have been told is the reason that he came here was to try to save the Jews who were on their way to destruction. So he came down here because they were his people and they were his kingdom. And he was proclaiming the message to the Jews so that he could try and get them turned around and on the right track. And that when that didn't work out, then he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And after the resurrection, he was able to unlock, or as Paul puts it, tear down the barrier wall that Gentiles had up until that point in time never been able to cross, to get through. That salvation was never available for Gentiles until after the resurrection. Is that the truth or is it a lie?
It's absolutely a lie.
It is absolutely a lie because salvation has always been open to Gentiles as long as there have been Gentiles. You remember the story of Ruth and Naomi and Orpha. Do you remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the book of Ruth.
Oh.
And Ruth was, was she a Gentile or was she a Jew? She was a Moabite. She was from Moab. She was not a Jew. She was not a Hebrew. She was not an Israelite. She was a pagan. you know, and as the story goes, Naomi and her two sons and her husband, they moved to Moab because things in Israel were pretty bad. Her sons married two Moabite girls. And after a while, her sons died, her husband died, and she, Naomi decided to go back to Israel.
And she was a Hebrew.
She was a Hebrew, yes. So the two girls decided they would go back with their mother-in-law. But their mother-in-law must have known something because she says, you know, look, you don't have to come back with me. Don't feel like, you know, just because I'm getting up there that you need to stay around and take care of me because you're my daughters-in-law. I know that you probably don't want to go to a foreign country, a strange land, and I'm fine there. You know, I'll make do. So if you want to go back to your town, you can go on back. And Orpha went back. But Ruth made that famous statement. Whether thou goest, I will go.
Where you lodge, I will lodge.
Your people will be my people. And your God, my God, where you are, there I will be, and there I will be buried. If she said, your people be my people, what should Naomi have said? Well, that's impossible because no Gentile can become a part of the children of Israel. It's impossible. According to our God, he doesn't want Gentiles. He only accepts the children of Israel. She didn't say that. And Ruth ultimately married an Israelite, and who was her great-grandson? David. King David of whose family line ultimately was the Son of Man.
Jesus.
You see, the heritage comes from the mother. The heritage comes from the mother. So, for Paul to say that Gentiles were without hope, without promise, without anything until after the resurrection
is a lie.
Is a lie. In Isaiah 56, Isaiah 56, starting with verse 6. Foreigners who have attached themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love his name and be his servants. All who observe the Sabbath, not profaning it, and cling to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain. Foreigners. Those are Gentiles, pagans. So how can Paul, how dare Paul say that the reason for the resurrection was to break down the barrier wall so that Gentiles could share in the blessing of Israel? You remember what I was saying earlier about what you believe needs to be based in truth? The Green New Deal, which is a pack of lies. But for those who, and this is the majority, for those who have not taken a look at the facts in the matter, how are they going to know that it is a pack of lies? All they're going to see is, whoa, the world is going to end in 12 years and we'll all be dead unless we do this Green New Deal? Well, that's, you know, kind of painful. I hate to give up my car and my cow and my money and my house, and well, I give up everything. But hey, if I'm alive and I'm not burned to a cinder from the sun, then well, what else can you do?
And what can we do here on earth that will affect the sun? Not a thing. It's all a lie.
God has told us how this world will end, and it has nothing to do with global warming. Nothing to do with global warming. In Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14. Write to the messenger of the assembly in Laodicea and say, here is the message of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness. The ultimate source of God's creation. I know all about you, how you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are neither, but only lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say to yourself, I am rich. I have made a fortune and have everything I want, never realizing that you are wretchedly and pitiably poor and blind and naked too. Take a look at that. Is that a good picture? Would these people be in the kingdom at this point in time?
No.
Or do these people have anything to do with the kingdom?
Not a blessed thing.
Okay, Dennis. Maybe you better think about that. Why do I continually bring up the Hebrews in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land? Why do I continually bring up that example? Were the Hebrews and the mixed multitude in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land in the kingdom? Were they in the kingdom?
No.
No, that's right.
Were any of them in the kingdom? Well, you know, you better when Moses. Was Moses in the kingdom?
Nope.
What did Moses have?
In what way?
He had a staff.
He had a staff. And he had authority. He was the leader of the people. Well, what else did he have? He had a connection to God. God was telling him the truth. So did he have the truth in his intellect?
Yes.
Yes. And what was that truth that was in his intellect? It's called the law.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So the words of truth were in his intellect. And he believed them. He was carrying them out. Was he in the kingdom?
He might have been.
What about Caleb?
And Joshua. Yep.
They're in the kingdom.
Right.
Now, they are in the wilderness. They were with everybody in the wilderness. But they were the only ones in the kingdom. They were headed for the promised land. God was showing them visibly before their faces. He was showing them the way to the kingdom. The way to the kingdom was to be cleansed of sin. What is sin, and how are you cleansed from it?
Sin is believing a lie.
Sin is holding to a lie that is in your intellect. So God gave Moses the truth, which is the law. Moses gave it to the people. The people listened to the words of God that Moses was telling them. Those words went into their ears and into their intellect, and then kept right on going.
Kept right on going out. In one ear and out the other.
So when you are operating based on lies, do you think that you would be able to understand the meaning of the truth?
No.
Absolutely not. So what was happening? God put the tabernacle in the midst of the camp of Israel.
So they could learn the truth.
So that when they learned the truth, they could see the operation of the tabernacle, and they would know how to enter the kingdom. Because the way into the kingdom is through the processes of the sanctuary, the sanctorium. You must be cleansed from sin. Well, what is sin?
Believing a lie, as if it's the truth.
Sin is lies.
Right.
If you believe them, that's sinning. You act on them, that's sinning. Sin is lies, period. period. I want you to understand that. If you are a sinner, you are practicing lies. Your actions in the spiritual realm are a direct result from what is in your intellect. And if lies are in your intellect, you are acting on those lies like those who are promoting the Green New Deal. It's based on lies. It operates on lies. And it will never deliver what it's promising, because what it's promising is lies. You cannot deliver on lies. You can ask Moses. Now, Moses is in heaven right now.
Mm-hmm.
He might even be listening to this. I don't know. You can ask Moses about the truth and lies, and ask him, how many people entered the promised land when God brought them to the border and said, go in? How many people entered the promised land?
Two.
Nobody.
So
well, you say, Don said two, and I know why he said two. Did Caleb and Joshua enter the promised land and everybody else stay in the wilderness and die?
Well, were they dead?
No, they all went in.
No.
Joshua and Caleb.
When God first brought them to the promised land and said, enter, how many entered?
No one.
No one.
Okay. Right. I didn't hear that first bit.
You need to listen.
I'm...
okay. Now...
Oh, hang on.
38 years later, that whole first generation that refused to enter, that refused to enter, died.
So they were dead by then.
The two that didn't refuse to enter
were still alive.
Were still alive, and they entered because they what? Believed and were ready to act on the truth. That's it. That's it. Everybody else said God is a liar. Now, Moses didn't say God is a liar, but what Moses did do that kept him from entering the promised land is he did not portray, he did not represent God as holy. When he what?
Struck the rock.
Disobeyed.
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 Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So he disobeyed and he didn't enter. Do you see here clearly? I don't know how you cannot see it. If you believe lies, you're never going to enter the kingdom of God. When you have been notified that what you believe and practice are lies, that's why the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, is so critical to our whole situation.
Not, you will not enter the kingdom even if you believe by faith through grace.
Okay, can you clarify this, Caleb and Joshua?
Right. We're done. Thank you very much, Rick. That was terrific. And we encourage our listeners to go back, and you can download this or any of the other more than 1,000 programs on our Blog Talk Radio website. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Be on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day, and we will see you all tomorrow.